Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where AI related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy, and today we'll bring you another special guest. His name is Sebastian Edouard, and he's the co-founder and CEO at Insiders, which is also one of the top agencies out there when it comes to managing your PPC on Amazon. And that's why I wanted to bring Sebastian on board today. I actually known Sebastian for a while. We had amazing experiences at past events, and I know he knows his stuff when it comes to PPC, and that's why I wanted to bring him on the episode, because Q4 is here, and on top of that, PPC has been changing a lot, specifically in terms of how you do certain optimization, like negation, for example. Negation's always been creating so much confusion in the space. Some people say negated, some people say not negated, or where do you do the negation? So that's so going to be an interesting conversation we're going to be having today and much more. But other than that, Sebastian, I just want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for coming. How are you doing, my bro?
Thank you very much for the invitation, brother. Happy to join. Happy to share everything that I know. I've always chosen to be transparent and help everybody. That's why I love this industry. That's why I've been in it for so long, honestly.
Yeah. I love it. I think, at the end of the day, that's also the reason why we do, this podcast, is be able to share all the wins and also the losses that we go through our journey as, sellers and also agency, and be able to support so many sellers. Let's be honest, it's getting tougher and tougher. And I think a little piece of wisdom sometimes can be different between making it and not making it, right? So I guess before we jump into the topic today, Sebastian, just for people that might not know you yet, like, tell us a little bit about you, how you jump into the space, and then let's dive into the topic. Yeah,
gladly. Yeah, so I'm Sebastian. I'm CEO of Insiders Agency. My personal I'd say story started around 11 years ago, actually, to date. Wow. I started in October 2013. Yeah,
congrats.
With ASM1. It was a very beautiful thing you just said there, that people only tend to share their successes, right? Yeah. Not necessarily their losses. Well, keep in mind, so I started 2013 until maybe March, April of 2016, I didn't really meet any success, right? So I launched everything under the sun, from silicone rings, fidget spinners, a lot of things. And until 2016, when I really got serious and I had an established business in Romania, 10, 11 people employed at a physical office, and we developed two very beautiful brands that are close to my heart. Until then, it was honestly a lot of learning, right? Let's be in terms with today's metrics.
I know. I think at the end of the day, something that people need to be aware of. Like, people might see us right now at events or we are of success when it comes to respective business, but there's so much, things that we had to go through in terms of, difficult moments, days that, we woke up and say, maybe I give up or I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I guess something that we can definitely share, that I'm sure is also the same for you, is the consistency. If you keep pushing and you believe in the process, and at the end of the day, you don't give up. If you don't give up, you never lose, right? So you're still in the race. Even if you're last, you're still running. And eventually, luck is going to meet with preparation, and that's what success is going to look like, right? Now, you've been doing this for so many years now. I'm sure you have seen so many things in the PPC world. And I think something that maybe we can start the conversation about is, how lately you've been doing optimization when it comes to PPC, because something that you briefly mentioned before going live, and actually resembles with a lot of the questions I get, is how to properly do negation, right? there's always so much misunderstanding when it comes to that. Like some people always ask me, oh, when you move a keyword from one campaign to another, should you negate it? Should you do the negation within the ad group level or the campaign level? Should you do the negation at all? So I guess from your perspective on everything you're seeing with your account, Sebastian, tell us a little bit about how you've been tackling that situation when it comes to optimizing your PPC campaign.
Beautiful subject. Beautiful subject. Yeah. Yeah. And I will do a short intro for this one, and I will make sure everything connects until the end. So first of all, at Insiders, we have a manual approach, meaning 100% of the actions on the account are made by this AI, right? by human hands, even though we use software for scraping, brainstorming, researching, graphs, and so on, of course, to be up to date, everything is manual. And on the same level is negation as well, right? So we've been starting with first principle, as we did with everything else, with negation as well. And you're gonna hear some things that will make sense, but nobody pretty much does it. I heard it, yeah, it makes sense. And then when I asked, did you do it? Not really, right?
Yeah.
So let's go through it together. I would say the thing we call global negation, first of all, the standard negation, which we understand the sort of a threshold interval between clicks and spend, that's something that everybody can understand, right? I'm not going to go into that. I think our that's all available all over the internet. Yeah. What I would start with is something that we call negation relevancy. Meaning, for instance, let's say we are selling a black shirt, right? And we have a broad campaign, right? And one of the search terms in there is woodpecker, right? It happens. That's the setup for broad, right?
Yeah.
So by definition, so what do you do then? Do you wait for 10 clicks until it reaches the threshold to negate it? Not really. You'll never gonna sell a black t-shirt through a woodpecker keyword, correct?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
What we do is make sure it's relevant and it gets negated from the first click, right? First click negated because it will never reach a point where it will ever convert, right? So this is relevancy, which is very important. Second, I would say once we found that keyword and we negated it in this broad campaign, guess what? You have maybe 6, 7, 8 broad campaigns or research campaign or phrase campaigns that will end up spilling the same search term, right? Yeah. So this is something that we call cross-campaign negation, meaning I do a list, a global negation list for every ace in every portfolio that I have. And once I have vetted and discovered a correctly negated word, it should go everywhere, right?
Yes.
Globally. I never want to accept it. If here that it doesn't sell through woodpecker, here it will definitely also not sell through woodpecker.
You mentioned there's something. No, it makes sense. And something that I feel people don't say that is also very important is that you said relevancy. And the reason why I want to make a quick parenthesis is that if you don't start negating these keywords from very early on, and I have seen that happening, then you start building essentially a correlation between your product and the wrong attributes. Maybe luck, by luck, especially at the beginning, you might make a few sales here and there, but they're very unprofitable. And you might take the decision to leave them on for a long period of time. We know that that might potentially get you ranked sometimes on keywords that are not going to be profitable for you in the long term. So you have to be very strategic and remove any emotion. And if that keyword is not related to your product, no wait for the system to tell you. Like, you know for a fact it's not a keyword, and just move on, right?
Perfect. Perfect comment. Yeah. And I would also continue with propagating this. So let's continue with our example. So we have our setup of research campaigning, setup broad phrase auto, and then we will launch new campaigns for whatever reasons we want to increase our market share, etc. Mm-hmm. Those new campaigns, guess what? They should start by having everything that we know already negated. I don't need to find out. I already paid for that information, right? I have it. I don't need it anymore. Thank you very much. Right. Mm-hmm. So this is part of what we call global negation, and definitely very important, negating as phrase negative the root words that will never convert for you. Right. It's a very straightforward, simple tactic. And honestly, the easiest way for people to do this, because saying it, we don't really know the level of the audience, right? If you are for year one PPC, it's a bit like finance, a lot of complicated things. But at the end of the day, if somebody gives you A, B, C, D, it's quite straightforward, right?
Yes.
So we did exactly that. So on our website, insiders.agency, you'll see now we have a global negation article. It's sort of a 10-minute read, a 30-minute implementation, but it goes through a step-by-step. And honestly, it will help plug a lot of holes in your Q4.
Yeah, I know. I think negation at the end of the day is something that, and I've seen this mistake all the time. You mentioned something which is a phrase negation, and that's also such a easy win. Like I've seen this mistake so many times. Like let's say your product is a red water bottle, right? So you know for a fact, if the bottle is red and you know there is a lot of keywords that have to do with all colors that you don't sell, all the other colors have to be negated from a phrase perspective because, I mean, who is going to buy a red bottle if they're looking for yellow, right? And small things like this, and I'm sure you see all the time, that can easily add up to thousands of dollars, especially in Q4, where expense can become very, very significant. Now, talking about negation, to conclude on this, and then, of course, we jump into Q4, which is also a very interesting thing I want to cover. There's also this constant, you know, debate when it comes to negation. Like, if you have a keyword that's performing very well in a campaign and you want to move it to a new campaign, like, should you negate this keyword or should you not negate it? Or how is the dynamic behind that? Because, of course, there is one thing that is negating from day one when the campaigns are new. But then how negation evolves as you move keywords from campaign to campaign? Is there some kind of dynamic you have seen performing better, like you like negating or you like to keep it as it is, even if you move the keyword to a new campaign? What is your take on that?
Beautiful question. So I have something, we do something that we call keyword transplant, right? Okay. So between the first steps that we take when onboarding an account, we make sure that every single main keyword, let's say, has one campaign, one ad group, one keyword inside, which, by the way, is the only way you can have full control on a keyword. There is no other ways. This is not a debate. Okay. Then inside such campaigns, sometimes we find two main keywords, right? Within a one ad group with 10 keywords, two of them are actually main keywords, right?
Yeah.
Which then becomes a problem. Therefore, we want to make sure each of them gets correct care, right? Because if you start, for example, modifying placement percentages, once you have two assets inside your campaign, one is not correctly optimized by default because you're optimizing averages. So one must go, right? Usually, we choose to transplant the secondary one, so the smaller one or the least relevant one with the worst performance in advertising. What we do through this transplant is we don't negate it first. We move it to a new campaign, and we are aware this is a learning stage. Same keyword, same bid, will have 1.5 CPC, and from 30% ACOS, it will have 55% ACOS, right? Mm. We've been in the game, we know what's going to happen, and we know why we do this. So what we do, we usually start with the new campaign keyword with a higher bid, let's say around 50% higher than this one. What I'm trying to do is move the traffic from there to here. Mm-hmm. So I can stabilize the second main keyword and make sure it gets also preferential treatment so we can squeeze everything possible from this one as well. Usually it takes around 10 days. We make sure we register the traffic, we increase this bid, we decrease this bid, we increase this bid, we decrease this bid. It takes around 10 days. We did this with millions and millions on keywords, and trust me, it works, right? And at the end of the day, this is the way I would move keywords, and not necessarily through, let's say, negating, right? This is sort of isolation, the way you... Yeah, the way you mention things, right? So I want to isolate, negate my exact main keyword everywhere else. So I only get the black t-shirt traffic in this one, right?
Exactly. So important. And I think that the reason why, just to make also a quick comment, that's so powerful because if you then spread your effort across that single keyword, across multiple campaigns, then it's very difficult for you as an advertiser to know actually what is the impact of that keyword on your performance, because then you're having 20 clicks from this keyword on this campaign, 30 clicks here, and then 40 clicks, and then it's difficult for you to know, is actually this keyword profitable? It's not profitable. Is what is it over a conversion? So if you have it all in a single campaign, you're able in a few seconds to know if this is actually the keyword to keep running or not. Yeah.
Correct. And further on, evaluate the success, right? What did I put in? For instance, in this main keyword, what's my bid? What's my spend? Let's say, I don't know, 5,000 the past week. Okay, let's see rank now, right? How did this affect it? And it's very easy because now I have the computation. I bought the data. I know what I need to spend to get to that level. And I can forecast what I could need to spend to get to above the fold page one, right? Exactly. But if it's in 16 campaigns, broadband, et cetera, then it would be like, please, God.
Yeah, I know. It's just playing the roulette. You're in the casino.
Yeah. It's mathematics. It's not. Hope is not a strategy.
Exactly. Now, something you, I'm sure people is going to wonder as well, is that when you do that migration, sometimes it might happen that if the queue is performing very well on a campaign that's very old or has a lot of history, sometimes it's difficult for you to replicate the same on a new campaign, right? And this sometimes has to do with things that are difficult sometimes to justify on paper, just the way Amazon works. Sometimes campaigns have a longer history because of, you know, the attribution is being given to it, performs better than new campaigns. So have you seen a scenario when you do the migration and then the performance is not there, and then you need to go back? Or is that something later you are not seeing as often anymore?
Yeah, honestly, it did happen around 2 or 3 years ago, I would say. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say it's the tactic I just described. It was the lack of pretty much know-how in that one, right? So we did move back on some keywords in the beginning. But after we perfected the method, not really. So what's very important to know is that it takes time, and it's beautiful that you already explained that, right? It takes time for the sales attribution. And in the back, there is definitely something similar to Google Ads Score, right? And otherwise, it wouldn't work this way, right? So what I would recommend is patience. If it happened once, it will happen again.
Yeah.
And very important, even if for the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, again, this is a long-term project, I would say, in PPC. This is will not happen tomorrow. If you do it tomorrow, it will be a very heavy transition. If you just shut down, create a new one, it will be a heavy transition, right? But if you do it in time and if you prepare for it, it will happen by default. And very important, even if after 1 month you don't have the exact same results, usually the only problem is your CPC will be higher, right? And you will tend to get the similar results in terms of velocity, but your CPC will be higher. But let's not forget that already by moving it to a new campaign, I'm catering to its needs much better than I would have had in the past. So I'm already getting more revenue, better performance by moving it along, right? In my opinion, if I would just get the question and 80% similar results, I would take it. So if I just have 80, like in delegation, you know, for your management, 70 to 80%, then I'm good. I can move on.
Love it. Now, we've briefly mentioned, and I think that's where I want to use the opportunity to shift towards that, Q4, right? I think we're pretty much in Q4. We're already started, but given that, you know, this episode is going to go in the ears of so many sellers that are going through that phase and they're taking action right now to take advantage of November and December, I'm sure there's some, you know, tips that you can still do while in Q4 to maximize the return on your investment. So I guess from your side, given that, you know, you're helping some of your clients to get ready for Q4, what are some of the, you know, best practices you think people should be doing from the perspective of routine, or maybe checking their keywords, checking their budget? Is there some kind of checklist, high level, that you think sellers must be doing to leverage this period of the year?
Thank you very much for your question. I would give some things that I would do, and then I would say exactly what we do. It's simple and depends on the level of the account or the enterprise or who manages what, I would say. So one thing which is very important, Q4 is here, right? But until middle of November, not really, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So actually Q4, it's 36 days in my opinion. And I read an article recently that 44% of those days have deals, right? Which is insane. So right now, if I would be, let's say, in mid of October, one thing that I would do while everybody else relaxes is this: go back to your past data and understand how it worked the past year. 90% of people we onboard have no idea. They kind of have, right? But KYC is not know your customer, know your numbers. As a CEO or as an entrepreneur, you really have to, right? Yeah. So then once we know where we start from, I would just look at the basics. Honestly, at Insiders, we do everything manual, and we're not really looking at upper funnel about, I don't know, SD campaigns, auto. You manage the basics very well, you'll do very good. So yeah. I would follow my previous conversion rate, SFR, BSR, search volume, right? PPC conversion rate, percentage of PPC sales from total sales. If you know those per product, you don't need me. You will see actions that are necessary, right? Yeah. Then let's say we have the data and we move towards November 15th, let's say. First of all, one thing where we make a lot of profits for our clients is preemptive action. And honestly, it's not wizardry. You know, when somebody does a thing very good, it looks like magic. Exactly. It's not. And I'll tell you why. I look back for the past 2 years, when does actually the search volume increase? And you'll be surprised that it's almost specific to the day and almost specific to the hour. And our competitors from our clients will realize the traffic increased and then come up with their bids and their budgets.
Too late. It's too late. Yeah.
Ta-da! Guess what happened then? I'm already at $4,000 and $10,000 budget, right? Let's go. Enjoy it. So that's very important. And it's as easy as I just said it. You just need to go back and understand when the traffic starts. One day before, full throttle.
Exactly.
That's one thing. Second thing I would say, which I keep saying all over the place and nobody actually does
doing it.
It is. Second thing is, this is the time to rank people. Now we are ranking, right? While most of our competitors are shielding their profits because everybody's window shopping and nobody's
and everybody's scared because they, you know, it's been, let's be honest, it's also been a tough year. So everybody's so at the defensive kind of a mindset. Yeah, it's true. Like they're diluting their efforts in ranking.
Exactly. And there's our opportunity. That's why I'm saying it. That's why I'm saying it now. So while all our competitors, your competitors are down in bids and shielding themselves because the profitability is not nice, we see it as a very small investment for what we will get, right? So right now, I think 80% of our clients have bids that are almost the level of Black Friday, which is insane. Right?
I
have $9 bids right now. I have $14 bids right now. Why? Because I know the main keywords need to be on position number 1, 2, 3, 4 when November 15 starts.
And you take advantage of organic.
Guess what will happen then? It's too late. It's already too late. It's already too late. When you realize it's too late, right? So I think these should help any industry, right? Any niche you're in, these tactics are generally applicable and you can do it now.
I think with PPC, that's the other thing. I feel a lot of people, when they do PPC, they use it as a reactive strategy rather than a preventive strategy, right? And essentially they try and we see that all the time. People are doing adjustments to the PPC like daily sometimes, which I find crazy, or things that are just based on what is happening in the moment in time. But yeah, people don't understand that some of these things basically took weeks for the outcome to be shown on the platform now, and by the time you want to react, it's not gonna be aligned with the outcome in the moment in time. And I think going back in time, I guess what I'm gonna ask you is, I'm sure one of your best friends when it comes to that is brand analytics, right? You go back in time, you have a look at what happened last year. So tell us a little bit about high level how people can leverage that, because I'm surprised, and I'm sure you are as well, that when you ask these people don't know they can go back in time with brand analytics and have a look at what happened last year.
Yes. very important fact. So obvious. So through brand analytics, you can see the market basket analysis. Mm-hmm. You can see how you stand against the competitors in terms of conversion rate, the search volume, right? The percentage of share that you have. And it's right there. Honestly, you, and also, for instance, when you keep ranking, for one thing that I would keep my eye on, right, is the conversion rate that you have against your competition, right? Mm-hmm. This is a very important tactic, right? When, because you tend to invest, right now we're spending tens of thousands a day investing in ranking those keywords, and I need to know my conversion rate is higher or on tier with the market, because otherwise I will not stick. So I've honestly, going back to the losses, me personally, definitely I lost over $500,000 in faulty ranks. Gladly, this is back in 2016, 18, 19, when we didn't have so much information. But because of that, you mentioned brand analytics, and in my mind, I had a small smile, because we do manual scraping, man. Every single day for every single client, I'm getting search volume, PPC conversion rate, total conversion rate, splitting to get the overall conversion rate, etc. And doing our own internal graphs. We have a dev, Chris, a great guy for that. Mm-hmm. And because we can take our own internal decisions when it comes to that. So yeah, definitely. Awesome. I think the question is already answered. You pointed towards brand analytics. It's a quite, you land there and you realize what's happening. And I would just do this asterisk. Amazon is cutting the data more and more these days, right? So you cannot see, for my own brands, I can't see back for more than 2 years, or 1 year half actually now, right? Mm-hmm. So please get your data, download the data, aggregate it, and make sure you know your market, you know your niche. Because if you only have data for 1 year, no software is going to give it to you, right? And it's not sufficient information. We download everything every month, and I really recommend the same.
Love it. Well, Sebastian, I mean, you've been sharing so much wisdom, and I appreciate that. And I guess to conclude, is there any last minute tip or any kind of last minute, maybe, you know, insight you want to share for people to leverage Q4 when it comes to PPC? Anything else?
Yeah, happy to. So even if we are not a performance agency, right? So we don't really get paid straight forward for performance or net profit. For us, net profit is the holy grail. And I really want to send the same message to everybody else. So every single time we onboard the client, and you know this through our past experiences together, every time we onboard the client, we make sure we get access to net profit. Why? Mm-hmm. We're responsible for like maybe 50% of their total sales. So I want to know my PPC strategy, once it has been implemented, what was the direct impact in net profit? It's super easy. And at the end of the day, ACOs, TACOs, they're vanity metrics. Mm-hmm. I just had a discussion the previous day with an aggregator, and I show them that they have the same ACOs with the same, let's say, 30% average ACOs. I can give you double the profitability or half the profitability, right? Same one, because we do manual optimization. We are very on point with delivering results, specific results. And so I can give you exactly flatline 30%. But guess what? Mm-hmm. If you do on auto campaign and you just negate it and it gives you 30%, your ranks would plummet in time and your organic will plummet in time. And honestly, most times we both saw this. I remember seeing this together. It's hard to get back to it. It's very hard to get back to it. So I would say, make sure you keep your eyes on the ball, and the ball is not sales. It's not ACOS. It's net profit.
Love it. Thank you, Sebastian. Awesome. Appreciate that. And I guess for people, you know, want to find you and work with you, how people can reach out.
Happy to, as we were just discussing. So up until today, we never advertised. Right now we did a rebranding. You can find us at insiders.agency. It will be the first time we work with outside requests. We just work on referrals so far. Happy to provide the free audit. We're pretty quick with it, manual and in-depth. And even if we will work together or not, I'm pretty sure you'll get a lot of insights, pretty much similar to what we're doing now.
Awesome, Sebastian. So I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to put all the information down in the description for people to reach out. And see you soon at upcoming events, bro. Yeah?
Thank you so much. See you again. Thank you very much for having me. And congrats on the grind, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it, bro. Thank you. Appreciate that. Bye-bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.